Well, guys, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not shocked that the Patriots lost, but I am shocked at what happened. 13 points, none in the second half. I mean, how do you explain that?
To me, that's the most remarkable thing, getting shut out in a half. All the other stuff, giving up points, plays, Baltimore spreading them out and finding room to work, all that. But to see Tom Brady in this, I don't care that they've struggled against the Ravens over the years and whatever you think of that defense being good in the red zone. For me, to see this offense, a offense that was number one in the NFL in yards, number one in points, to get shut out in the second half, unfathomable.
I thought offensively, in addition to not playing very well, they didn't execute very well. We saw that. We saw all the third and shorts that they weren't able to convert and all that stuff. But to me, Tom Brady not playing well, that's happened occasionally in the playoffs. Bill Belichick, to me, was very surprising with how unaggressive he was. I thought three times they punted from the Ravens side of the field, twice inside the 30, inside the 40, 34, I think, once, a 35, and on makeable fourth downs. It wasn't fourth and 15 from the 35. You know, just very uncharacteristic lack of aggression, I thought. And then, of course, at the end of the half, the clock management situation. Those are the kinds of things that I know that I do. A lot of my around the NFL segments tend to focus on poor preparation from other teams around the league. Well, on Sunday night, I thought the Patriots were victimized.
How different of a game is this with Rob Gronkowski?
I think it's different. You know, I think you lost your guy that is a matchup problem, is a playmaker, is just a one-on-one playmaker. And we talk about it every year. And every year we go into the offseason saying they need to add a guy that can beat one-on-one coverage, that can make plays even when he's covered. Gronkowski's that guy. And when he's not out there, I think that puts too much pressure on guys like Welker, who, for everything he's great at, and he's a great player, and I'll say it again, another remarkable performance where he gets his head knocked off and just hops right back up and he's back at the next play. But for everything he is, there are limitations as to how he can contribute. And I don't think Gronkowski has it. I think Gronkowski can beat matchups, especially against a team that's good in the red zone. You go 1-4 in the red zone, it's a big reason why you didn't score. That's why you lose this game. You know, Gronk is a matchup nightmare, and there's no doubt in my mind he would have made a major difference, more so than even, I think you're going to go here, Tlaib. To me, the bigger loss wasn't Tlaib going down. It's not having Gronk.
Well, the other thing is you mentioned Wes Welker. I think it's absolutely ridiculous for people to be calling this another drop game for Wes Welker.
Absolutely. And we got those immediately on Twitter and on our AskPFW account, meeting, you know, the drop part two and, you know, Welker and ridiculous. I can't even think that what people are looking at to believe that when they watch this game in its whole. Everybody drops passes. Everybody has bad throws. The greatest of all time. But I don't know how you could leave that game and having seen Wes Welker, the performance that he put on, and say he was the problem. He's the reason you lost. Ridiculous.
But it was part of it. It's part of the game. And I totally agree with Andy, you know, to equate the two drops, you know, a third down in the first drive of the third quarter with a 13-7 lead, to me is a little bit silly. With the Super Bowl one, listen, it's a ball that Wes has to catch.
Oh, a horrific drop. Yeah, way worse of a drop than the Super Bowl.
I'm not putting him off the hook for that. I mean, he has to catch that ball, and I'm sure he'd say the same thing. But at the same time, look at the plays that the guy makes. I mean, out of all of the people who didn't show up to play Sunday night, Wes Welker is at or around the bottom of that list. Yes, he had a bad drop. He had another ball I thought that he could have caught earlier in the game. But he made a lot of plays during the course of the game, not just as a receiver. He was excellent on punt returns as well. Set the Patriots up with very favorable field position in the first half that the Patriots didn't take advantage of. That wasn't just because of Wes Welker.
You know, and if we're saying if Wes Welker drops a third down pass in the third quarter,
that's it.
Patriots
Game's
don't have
over.
A chance, then right. I think that there's other problems besides then you're depending too much on Wes Welker.
And you're not nearly as good as you think you are. If that's the difference between winning and losing, then there's a lot more wrong than Wes Welker.
So let's discount that. So what did go wrong?
Well, I think a lot of things. I think the pass defense. You know, we finished the year, in my opinion, where we started it. The pass rush and the pass coverage. And yes, it hurt that Tlaib went out. I think they would have done better. I think he's a better matchup against Anquan Boldin as a big corner who can fight for the ball. You gave up two touchdowns to Anquan Boldin, a couple other plays where he just went up and said, I'm the bigger playmaker here, I'm going to go get the ball. That's a bigger challenge for him if Tlaib is on him. But I thought the pass rush was non-existent. There was basically one time Ninkovich had a nice outside-in move. Other than that, I thought they were non-existent. Chandler Jones basically didn't play. That's a huge blow to the front there. But to me, it all comes down to the pass defense, and I thought the Ravens, give them credit. They ran it early, but then they decided, we're going to spread you out, and we're going to throw the ball, and we're going to beat you that way. And that's how you beat the Patriots.
And that, to me, the one thing we'll never find out, because we'll never get Jim Caldwell to tell us for sure, but the most interesting thing to me was, did he stop running Ray Rice because Aqib Talib was out of the game? He finally figured out, listen, this is a secondary. Or was that part of the play? We want to run early. We're going to try to get Ray Rice involved in the game. If it doesn't work, this is what we're going to go to, Talib or no Talib. Because that, to me, was a defining moment in the game. When they just decided to go almost exclusively shotgun and throw the ball 7, 8, 9 times out of 10 plays, they couldn't stop him.
All right, next issue of Patriots Football Weekly. I expect you guys to have all the answers for 2013.
We'll have it all straightened out.
Okay.
It's always tough when the season comes to a crash landing, as Bill Belichick put it. As disappointing as that Ravens game was, though, there were still some things to be happy about and excited about, and some performances that are worth taking a look at. We're going to do that right now. I'm going to call them my Player of the Year non-Brady, my POYNB, and I have three of them. I'm going to start off with Rob Ninkovich. I think he was absolutely outstanding this season, a breakout year for him. He did so many different things. We know all about his versatility and about how he's just like Mike Vrabel, but really, he put it all together in 2012. He was the best pass rusher. He was the best edge setter for the run. There wasn't anything that Rob Ninkovich didn't do. He was a big play guy, always played his best in big games, and he did so on Sunday night as well with 2 sacks. Rob Ninkovich, outstanding season. My second player is going to be Wes Welker, and I can't say anything that people haven't already said about this guy. He really just, his production, his consistency, his durability, I've lost all kinds of adjectives for this guy. He does it all, and he's just so darn consistent. 100-plus catches for the 5th time, an NFL record. Catches 8 balls Sunday night. He's getting lit up every single week, but he just keeps getting back up and back into the game. Yes, he had some drops, too many drops this season, but overall, 2012 was another great year for Wes Welker. They got to get him back. Final player I'm going to take a look at is the big guy in the middle of that defense, Vince Wilfork. Another Pro Bowl year, another All-Pro year. And again, his versatility to me never ceases to amaze. He can play on the nose. He can play tackle. We've seen him play outside at end. He can get penetration on running plays, on passing plays. He runs down screens. I think the run defense was a constant for that Patriots defense all season long. They shut down the ground attack. That all starts with number 75 in the middle. Vince Wilfork, another terrific season.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
At the end of the year, it's euphoria, or like we said, a crash landing.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Well, our final images of the week, and, you know, with a game like that, not many are good. This is Wes Welker, and kind of sums up the day, doesn't it? This next one is Tom Brady being tackled by the ref. Isn't that the guy in that Affleck commercial that always sees the duck? And finally, we feel your pain, Tom.
Player's Perspective. Brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joined now at Gillette Stadium by Patriots punter Zoltan Mesko. And first, Zoltan, just tell me, what's the emotion like this week for that? You know, we've heard a lot of references to a crash landing when the season ends so quickly. What's the emotion like as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely call it a crash landing. You know, you're going from 100 miles an hour on the highway to zero, and you kind of don't know what to do. But at the same time, you know, as far as the overall feeling is, you know, there's no embarrassment in it, but there's a disappointment in it, because we always have high hopes for this team with the amount of talent and the work ethic we have distilled all throughout it.
What about these Ravens-Patriots games? I mean, they seem like they're developing into quite a unique rivalry. It's almost like the Colts-Patriots early in the decade, where the games really live up to the hype, and you end up with great title games, great battles that kind of really prove a champion when the game is said and done.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that we look forward to. And anyone on this team loves a challenge. And, you know, with the AFC Championship, the amount of weight that carried, plus the, you know, what the Ravens stand for, you know, you have to respect that and prepare well for it.
As you turn the page now that it's the off season, what is that like in terms of a schedule? Do you just get away from football for a while, or obviously you're here at the stadium today, so you just transition right into workouts and preparing for next season? How's that work?
I think you definitely get away from the game for a couple weeks, and then I don't want to take too much time off because I want to regress too much. So I want to definitely improve upon last year and make it a better year.
Will you watch the Super Bowl?
Of course. It's, you know, my profession, and I want to see how people handle it and kind of be a semi-fan.
Do losses like this, and you guys have obviously 2 years in a row had very tough losses, sort of close to the goal for the season, is this a great motivation heading into the offseason, not just for you, but for the entire organization?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, I think, you know, the pursuit of perfection continues for me and the team, just because you always remember the taste in your mouth at the end of the season. It's either at the end of the year, it's euphoria, or like we said, a crash landing.
While the pain of Sunday's crash landing is still quite fresh in fans' minds, it's time to turn to the offseason, and that's what we do here on From the Heart. And the first order of business is looking to set up the draft. Patriots only have 5 picks in April. 29th overall in the first round is now solidified with their season ending. They have a second that's their own, a third that's their own, and then 2 sevenths, including one in the Tlaib trade. But there's a big hole in the middle of the draft, 4th, 5th, and 6th rounds. We know Bill Belichick doesn't like holes in his draft, so look for some trades either on draft day or prior to then to fill out the draft. But only 5 picks to restock this roster this spring. While looking at the draft, the question becomes, where should Bill Belichick target? Becomes simple. Defensive side of the ball yet again. They added Hightower and Jones in the first round last year. Back end needs some upgrading now. Cornerback, depending on Aqib Talib's future, they still need a big, young, developmental cornerback. Still need more help in the pass rush. Even though Chandler Jones should have a great sophomore season, he needs some help on the other end. Rob Ninkovich needs some help. So don't be surprised if they go early to the pass rusher yet again. Offensive side of the ball, you'd have to look at the offensive line where Sebastian Vollmer's future is in doubt. But more importantly, a young developmental receiver, a deep threat, somebody on the outside. We've seen plenty of young receivers develop quickly in the NFL these days. Patriots need one of them. And if it's not about the draft in the spring, it's about free agency. The Patriots have 18 scheduled unrestricted free agents, 3 starters, 4 other guys who are key contributors. When you're talking about the starters, it starts with Wes Welker. What's his future? Will he be franchised yet again? $11 million would be the tag this year. Are the Patriots willing to invest that much? Aqib Talib, are they looking to pay him top corner money? And be clear, as a guy who can cover man-to-man, there will be value for Aqib Talib on the open market. And right tackle Sebastian Vollmer, great season, but with his back injuries, can you afford to invest in him long-term? Danny Woodhead, Patrick Chung, all free agents. So while the Patriots will have some opportunity with their cap space to add bodies, they could lose some in free agency.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
We're just going to commit to him.
But it's NFL
he was good
business.
In like 3 games. So we'll commit to him. He's the difference maker on this defense.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
So Chip Kelly from Oregon is going over to the Philadelphia Eagles to become their new head coach, and everyone assumes that everything he did in Oregon offensively, he's going to do in the NFL. I don't get it. The reason why he did what he did in Oregon is because he could. You could get faster players and design an offense with speed that could just overcome with tempo any defense. Not so easy in the NFL. Those guys in the NFL on defense, they're pretty fast too. So I don't see how they're going to do that. It starts with a quarterback, obviously, but it goes through the whole Oregon offense, and he's not going to be able to duplicate that in the NFL.
Things couldn't have been much better for Bruce Arians in 2012. He takes over for Chuck Pagano, the Colts go to the playoffs, and suddenly this career assistant is in line for head coaching jobs all over the league. Unfortunately, he got the worst one. Of all the 8 head coaches that are going to take over teams in 2013, Arians has the toughest job. He goes to Arizona. He has no quarterback, no offensive line. He lost his defensive coordinator, who was very good. He goes to Cleveland, Ray Horton. And by the way, he has San Francisco and Seattle in his division, so that's not going to be easy. It's going to be a long year for Bruce Arians, but he'll always have 2012 to look back on and smile.
It's always fun when family and sports overlap. We got a taste of it recently with Doc Rivers and his son Austin, and Doc talked about how difficult that was for him to coach against his son. We saw it earlier this year with the Patriots twice. Arthur Jones, Chandler Jones doing battle on the football field, and John Bones Jones, a pay-per-view fighter. But how cool is it for the Harbaughs, Jack and Jackie? They have 2 weeks of hype about their sons, Jim and John, meeting in the Super Bowl. But as cool as it is, it's also going to be difficult. Can you imagine being a mother and saying, I need to root for one of my two sons, because guess what? The Super Bowl can't end in a tie. So one of her sons is going to be extremely happy, and the other is going to be extremely sad. And that's going to be a very interesting but difficult week for the Harbaughs. I think it's pretty cool.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
The season is over and the Patriots will have a lot of decisions to make. If you could only pick just one, who would you re-sign, Welker or Tlaib?
In an ideal world, obviously, you'd get both guys back, but you made me pick just one. I think you have to go with Welker. I mean, the guy has been the staple of the passing game since he's been here. And you've said it before. When Moss left, Welker was still fine. When Gronk leaves, Welker's still fine. I mean, he's the only guy that no matter what happens, what defense, he gets hit in the head, gets laid out, has a bad rib, he's grabbing this, grabbing that. He is the core of this passing game. You lose that, to me, you lose all consistency in the passing game. You got to bring Welker back.
See, everything you just said about Welker, I totally agree with, except for the very last part. I'm not convinced that that offense can't be great without Wes Welker. It is great with him, and a large reason, as you said, because of him. I just think that they're so good with the other pieces around him. Defensively, I can't say that. Aqib Tlaib, to me, made a difference. And I was not a believer. I wasn't really a big fan of the trade. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. But I watched Sunday night. It was that big of a deal. When he left the game, and I know it was only 5 minutes left in the first quarter, was still very early in the game, and things may have very well turned around. But there was a noticeable difference in the way that secondary covered with and without him. We saw it a little bit down the stretch of the season, too, when he was dealing with that hip problem. I think they got to get Tlaib back.
See, I don't think it's Tlaib you need. It's to not have Kyle Arrington and Marquise Cole on the field. They were exposed as what they are, backup corners. If you get another starting caliber corner, whether he's a young guy or a veteran free agent, you're fine. But to me, you have no idea what this offense would be without Wes Welker, because we've never had to see it in the last recent history. If you're willing to commit and say Brandon Lloyd is fine, he's going to be my key guy, then better for you, because I'm not willing to go there. Aaron Hernandez, who misses 6 games a year because he's always hurt and drops too many passes, if you're willing to commit to that, fine. Rob Gronkowski, he now has injury questions 2 years in a row. The only guy there's no questions about is Wes Welker, but if you're willing to just pass that off and say, eh, we'll be fine without him, good luck to
you. Well, I'm not willing to pass it along to Brandon Lloyd, but I have no problem passing it along to the two tight ends, and I think that's the move, the direction that the Patriots were going in heading into 2012. I think that's why they re-signed the two guys. Listen, it wasn't a great year for either one of them because of the injuries. Early for Hernandez, late for Gronk. But I have some faith that these two guys are as good as we think they are, especially Gronkowski. I think he's a special player. I know you do, too. I'm not saying
that you're... No, I'm with you on Gronk.
I know you're not criticizing Gronkowski.
Hernandez is the one everybody says, oh, he'll just slide into the Welker role.
But I feel
like... Because that Welker role is 16 games a year and 120 catches.
But I
think... That's the Welker role.
Offensively, they scored 557 points this year. If it ends up being 520 or, 500... because you let Welker go, but your defense is better, I think you might be a better overall football team. You need to improve that defense. This way is not working, Andy. This way of spreading everybody out during the regular season and winning 13, 14 games every year, it's great. We put up a lot of big numbers, but when we get in the playoffs and we get against the physical teams, they're able to stop this offense. I think the offense needs to change a little bit, and I'm willing to take that bullet if it means having to move away from Wes Welker and improving the defense at the same time. I am not in favor of letting Aqib Tlaib go and put, Kyle Arrington or anybody else out there. So, they need a frontline corner, and Tlaib has shown that he can be that.
I think it's been overrated what he's done for this team. I think as just as big a factor was Devin McCourty going to safety and the ability to do that because Tlaib was here. But B, Wes Welker has been the consummate Patriot and the consummate guy producing on the field since he's been here.
I have nothing bad to say about Wes Welker.
So we're not willing to give him $30 million, but we're going to give $50 million to the guy who was here for half a season and missed half that half a season due to injury. We're just going to commit to him.
But it's NFL
He was good
business.
In, like, three games. So we'll commit to him. He's the difference maker on this defense.
Listen, it's NFL business. It's not fair. It's not about
it's not
right
even
and wrong.
Logical. But, we're going to hand $50 million to a guy who was suspended when he got here,
Andy.
Has had a bad hip the whole time he's been here, and really did nothing for you except help you lose a playoff game by not being able to stay on the football field.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, we've come to our final Ask PFW segment here on PFW TV, guys. And it's been great questions all season. And, of course, these are all focused on how do we fix this and so on. So this first one comes from Alex, and he's saying he hopes that Belichick doesn't bring Ed Reed into the Patriots next year.
Well, that's going to be something to watch this offseason because, you know, he's a free agent to be, and a lot of people don't think the Ravens can afford to bring him back. Now, he'll also probably talk about potentially retiring as he's done the last couple postseasons. But we know how much Belichick loves Ed Reed and the whole, you know, one Ed Reed is better than two safeties back there. I don't think he'll end up here. I think if he comes back, he'll end up staying in Baltimore. But I think Bill will look into it. And I don't think he looks at it the way these fans do. I think he still thinks Ed Reed is a valuable guy, a rotational guy. And on this defense that needs help in the pass defense, it's hard to argue that an Ed Reed, who even, you know, 80% Ed Reed, wouldn't help in some way with his
Bill likes his veterans, too.
Well, I think, not like you said, rotational.
Yeah.
Certain situations, obvious pass situations, you don't want Ed Reed back there.
Right, as a nickel guy or ahead of, say, Tavon Wilson rotating in, whatever it may be, I think he'll kick the tires there if he's available.
Marshall writes in, what are the chances of the Patriots bringing back Richard Seymour?
I don't think it's very likely. I mean, Seymour still thinks he's a guy. You know, he's a free agent, still thinks he's a high-paid guy. I don't think they're going to be investing that. Now, if he just wanted to come back, you know, as we always say, if he's just looking for low money, a place to go back to winning.
An Anthony Pleasant type of
yes,
pickup.
Yes, yeah. With more talent, with more ability, I still think at this point in his career, then I think he'd come back. But I still think Seymour, he feels like he's had his championship years and his Hall of Fame establishing type years. I think he's just looking for money now, and he won't get the money here.
All right, well, that's our final show for PFW TV, for Paul and Andy, myself, our producer Vinny Crouch, everyone over at Comcast. We want to thank you for watching. And what else?
Thank you for making us the highest rated show in the Thursday night Comcast football block.
That's right. All right. Have a good off season, everyone.